Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. First of all, our hearts here on the Soapbox team have to go out to the people of Haiti with this new crisis in that beleaguered country. Cindy Sheehan Soapbox supports Doctors Without Borders, an organization that courageously does good work all over the world. You can donate to them at doctorswithoutborders.org, and they do good work in Gaza. They've been working in Afghanistan, and now they are working really hard in Haiti, and very small amount of your donation goes to administrative costs, and they're a great organization. I support them monthly, not just when disasters strike. Well, anyway, last year at this time, the United States inaugurated our very first non-white president. I must say, contrary to what I consider to be any kind of common sense, there was a profound feeling of hope and euphoria that was really not borne out by Obama's platform or Obama's rhetoric. Last year, at this time on the Soapbox, we had former vice presidential candidate Matt Gonzalez on, and Black Panther and author Larry Pinckney, and we talked about our expectations for the upcoming year of Obama's presidency. Today, we'll visit with Matt and Larry again to reminisce, so to speak, but not to wax nostalgic about Obama's first year in office. Stay tuned. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. When we come back, we'll be talking to Matt Gonzalez.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehanSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehanSoapbox.com.
Thank you for hanging on. This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Our first guest today is Matt Gonzalez. Matt Gonzalez is an attorney in San Francisco. He was the president of the Board of Supervisors as a Green. He ran for vice president on an independent ticket with Ralph Nader in 2008. So, Matt, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
I'm delighted to be on the show again.
Well, we're delighted to have you. It's been almost exactly a year since you were on before. We had you on to talk about the upcoming Barack Obama administration, and I was never optimistic about his presidency, but he's actually exceeded even my worst expectations. What is your analysis so far of his regime in the first year of it?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when I was running with Ralph Nader, I published my thoughts in two pieces. One was called The Obama Craze, Count Me Out, and then the other one was called, it was released on two different titles. Sometimes it was out there as, What Do They Have to Do to Lose Your Vote? And the other title was The Trail of Broken Promises. And I thought that if anybody looked carefully at Obama's record, they would see that they were setting themselves up for disappointment. There was so much projection going on into what people were expecting of him. And I think one need only look at what he's done with Afghanistan to see the problems, you know, with his presidency.
What do you, think about exactly what do you think he's done in Afghanistan that kind of highlights the fact that he's not much different from George Bush administration?
Well, it's interesting. You know, there was a lot of talk right about the time there after he won the Nobel Peace Prize that he announced at West Point that he was going to increase troop deployment to Afghanistan by 30,000. But there had been less notice that he had increased troop deployment by about 34,000 troops to Afghanistan in March. And so, that's nearly 70,000 U.S. soldiers there, not including military contractors that were there, and they total about another 75,000. At the same time, people were hopeful, or they've bought into the administration's desire to decrease the number of troops in Afghanistan, but as of October, the number is about 125,000 U.S. soldiers in Iraq and another 120,000 military contractors there. His troop deployment in those two places now exceeds anything George Bush had, and he's not getting called on it. And I think that I think it's complicated. The way I look at it is that the extreme right wing, with their attacks of Obama, calling him a socialist and things like that, actually help contain what should be an anger on the left to his administration policies in those countries. But because the right calls him socialist, everybody wants to run and defend him rather than stand back and say, well, that's absurd. Here's the real critique.
Well, and there's also another problem about criticizing Obama from the left is that nobody on the left wants to appear to be racist. And that's another tool I think they have at their disposal that Obama can get away with, actually be more dangerous than George Bush.
Well, I think that certainly plays a role in it. I think his supporters like to shift their defense of Obama. During the campaign itself, when he would take more conservative positions or vote to support the Patriot Act and vote to send troops to Iraq, we were getting the kind of nod and wink from his supporters that, oh, don't worry, when he's president, he's gonna be more progressive. And, of course, now that he's president, those same supporters are saying, well, Obama never promised you any of these things. There was that sort of unwritten promise, the indication that he was going to be a progressive president and address a lot of these issues. I certainly didn't believe it, and that's why I spoke out against him. And I think that, you know, we have to come up with a way of realigning politics in this country. I didn't prefer John McCain to Obama, but I didn't want either of them elected president. And I think we're at that crossroads where we're, you know, some people are starting to get frustrated and say, well, what do we do, you know?
Well, you and Ralph certainly and Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente ran on platforms that were progressive and principled. And, of course, many of the people in the Democratic base who are progressive and anti-war would, I think, help the country a lot more if they supported you and Ralph or Cynthia and Rosa. But let's shift gears from foreign policy and let's go to domestic policy. Well, the whole health care, I almost said debacle, but the whole health care reform issue that is right now they're working on in Congress with my nemesis, Nancy Pelosi, and the president's office, and, of course, the Senate Majority Leader. What do you think about that whole process? It's been a few months now.
Yeah, I have found, Denis Kucinich's critique to be very cogent. And, he goes back, he published a statement in November where he basically laid out, if you look at since 1970, the percentage of number of doctors that have increased in this country, I think his number was like 200%. But if you look at the number of administrators to, in effect, health insurance in this country, that's gone up by 3,000%. And so he's looking at this health plan as, requiring the government to, in effect, it's going to require Americans to purchase, about 20 million Americans to purchase private health insurance. And that's going to be tens of billions of dollars of new revenue, most of which is going to be coming from taxpayers. And so rather than addressing what single-payer health care addresses, which is trying to deal with those administrative costs, it gets us to this unfortunate place that actually benefits the industry. And that's why their stocks have, dramatically gained strength. And it's clear that the Obama administration wants to declare victory with whatever they have rather than, even coming up with some real competition to this industry. And, what became the public option was in it of itself a compromise after there was a feeling that single-payer couldn't be achieved. That was a compromise that was ultimately scrapped. And if you listen to, Lieberman's comments, Senator Lieberman, he basically said the White House never pushed him to support public option. And, once again, the left gets, has to stand wondering, well, what was achieved?
Well, and then I had many progressive people who are in the media, people who are leading progressive, so-called progressive, I like to call them faux-gressive in this country, tell me that their litmus test for Obama was going to be health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there is not health care reform, that it's obviously just a giveaway, like our friend Kevin Z says, it's an insurance enhancement program to give them more profit. Now these same people are saying, we don't want perfect to be the enemy of the good. What do you think about that kind of thinking? That first of all, what's coming out of Congress and this health care reform isn't even good. Is it better to pass something that is awful than not to have any legislation at all?
Well, I think compromise is critical in politics, but there comes to a point where instead of a compromise, you have just a capitulation.
Right.
I think having some kind of public option was a compromise that we could live with, at least for starters. But when you abandon that altogether, then you're really just capitulating to this industry, and you're making them more entrenched in order to ever shift things. I am optimistic, though, that people are starting to really raise a question about this presidency. And they're really starting to wonder, well, what is it that we're getting? We've got these wars raging. We've got, this health care reform package that isn't going to create the change that people wanted. And then the question is, well, what should we do after that? And I think that we have to keep people focused on the idea that there are two things in my mind that are critical. One is, You have to go after election reform to make it possible for third-party candidates or independents to even be considered by voters without being called spoilers. And the second thing you have to do is you have to do something about the Taft-Hartley law, because it is rendering a very important entity in our country, labor. It's taking away labor's power to organize when they need to. Labor can't call a general strike as they can in other countries, and we feel that when we have the debacle in 2000 in Florida. Part of the reason there's not an uprising of the people is that there's no leadership. you know, labor, if it were strong and wasn't restricted under Taft-Hartley, could say, don't go to work, go on, get on the street. We're not going to tolerate this without a recount and do that sort of thing. But with weak labor, there's somehow something missing outside of government, and the opposition party, if it doesn't stand up for you, you don't have the outside of politics entity that can mobilize people. And I think we more people have to talk about it and try to get to that.
Those are, you know, actually very relevant reforms that I've supported. My campaign for Congress supported it last year. I want to switch gears to something. This is kind of like speculation. I want to ask you a theoretical question. A lot of people who want to, who realize that Obama is a disaster, they want to give him the wiggle room of saying, now, I can ask you because you're a courageous politician. Ralph is a courageous candidate, a courageous human being. But a lot of people tell me if Obama wanted to do anything good, he would be assassinated. He's afraid of the CIA, so that's why he's not.
I'm sorry, Cindy, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh, people tell me that Obama's not making the reforms, that the progressive reforms that we need,
right,
because he's afraid of the CIA and he'll get assassinated if he does anything good. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, there's just so many excuses. I think there was a comic strip in the San Francisco Bay Guardian that literally went through each excuse that people have for why he's not a better president in not standing up, you know. And I just think that it says a lot about mass psychology that, you know, people voted for him believing in something, and now they're invested in not wanting to be critical of him. They're invested in his success, even if it's in title only. And I don't know. I mean, I think it would be interesting to hear what psychologists had to say about what happens to somebody once they vote for somebody and that person starts to deceive them or disappoint them. You know, I think it's unfortunate. I think all of these excuses are exactly that. They're excuses for what we need. And if somebody's scared of holding office for any reason, then step aside. Don't hold office. But it's a real travesty for people to make these excuses. You know, it's in effect telling people they can't have anything they've been promised or believe in.
Well, that we can't have any courageous leadership. And I always tell them if that's the case for Obama, then it must have also been the case for George Bush.
Right.
And so that starts them to think for sure. Well, we're almost running out of time, unfortunately, but I just want to ask your opinion on something that just happened today. Of course, the tragedy in Haiti has a lot of us concerned. A lot of us are donating money to different causes to help relief efforts. But today we heard that Barack Obama appointed or asked George Bush to lead relief efforts for Haiti after his administration made a disaster out of Katrina and after his administration was responsible for the coup of Aristide. What is your thoughts about that?
I'm sorry, Cindy, I only heard a little bit of that.
Obama asked George Bush to lead relief efforts in Haiti.
Oh, okay. I wasn't
what
aware.
What are your thoughts?
Cindy, I wasn't aware of that. That's absurd. I don't know why he feels like he has to make continued overtures to the right. I'm still waiting for the left to be outraged over the fact that he's never invited Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney or others to have a post in government. If he can keep Robert Gates and all of these right-wingers because he's trying to, you know, bridge something, where is the, you know, the corresponding commitment to the left? I don't see it, and I'm offended by it.
Well, absolutely. Matt, I'm sorry that our connection wasn't better.
No, it's always great to talk with you anytime. Yeah. Thanks
and
for having me.
I'm in San Francisco. We'll go to lunch, and I'll have you in the studio so we can chat in the studio.
That's great. That's great.
Thank you,
Cindy.
That was Matt Gonzalez. When we come back from this short break, we'll be speaking to Larry Pinkney. Stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox at CindySheehansSoapbox.com. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Our second guest is Black Panther, Larry Pinkney. Larry is a contributing editor to Black Commentator and author of the book, Say No to Power. Brother Larry, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you, Sister Cindy. It's good to hear your voice. It really, really is.
Well, we won't wait for a year to have you back on the show because there's so much going on in our country, and you're a voice that really needs to be heard. Now, I just read an article that you recently wrote on the Black Commentator, and it's called Barack Obama is Impersonating a Black Man. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Barack Obama has asked George Bush to lead U.S. efforts in Haiti earthquake relief.
To do what?
Yes. Barack Obama has asked George Bush to lead U.S. efforts for Haiti earthquake relief.
And I don't
want to appear myself, you know, to be racist, because I definitely am not, but somebody who found out about that said, well, it looks like Barack Obama doesn't like black people either. Because, of course, George Bush let the people in New Orleans drown when we had a horrible disaster there, and his administration was involved in the coup of President Aristide. So what do you think this appointment says to the people of Haiti and the people of New Orleans?
It's very, very, very bad news. That's like asking the fox to take care of the chickens. And, it's very, very bad news to appoint or ask George Bush, of all people, to lead the efforts in Haiti with respect to trying to rebuild that country is it's an outrage. In a word, it is an outrage. And I must say, Cindy, that I'm not surprised, sister, at the actions of Barack Obama. Let's remember that Barack Obama is the same person when he was then candidate Obama who praised Ronald Reagan, the same
right.
person who attacked, meaning Ronald Reagan, who had just viciously attacked poor people, working people, and in particular women, in particular mothers. So, you know, this is the same man, Barack Obama, who praised Reagan. So we shouldn't be really surprised, but we should certainly be outraged. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, this is just additional proof, as if we need any, of what and who Barack Obama really is. And as far as his blackness goes, as I wrote in my article, you know, in the Black Commentator entitled Barack Obama Impersonating a Black Man, I clearly said that to be black means beyond mere color. To be black is first and foremost a conscious political, social, and economic commitment to the struggle for the betterment of the descendants of the black slavery holocaust and is what has now become the United States of America, in conjunction with other people of color and humanity as a whole. Therefore, I mean, clearly, Barack Obama is anything but black. He's really, as I said, the 21st century Willie Lynchicized House Negro, and in this instance, White House Negro.
Right. Well, those are some very strong words from your voice. It's very important because you have been in that struggle through your entire life. And I found
yes.
out something that I didn't know about you from my producer who set this interview up with you, is that you were incarcerated with Leonard Peltier before?
Yes, I was. We were incarcerated together in what was a prison in Canada before the U.S. authorities came and whisked him away illegally, I might add. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as everyone knows, Brother Leonard is still in prison, despite the fact that there is overwhelming evidence of his innocence, like Mumia.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like Brother Mumia. And,
right.
you know, we have our first non-white president who's not addressing these issues at all. But many people in this country, you know, believe that Haiti is just falling down because their government is corrupt. Well, their government is corrupt, but of course, there's been corrupt U.S. interventionism in Haiti for many decades now. And people in this country also believe the COINTELPRO stuff, that the Black Panthers were some kind of radical, militant, terrorist organization, when the Black Panthers were actually a community service organization in
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
African-American poor communities, weren't they?
Well, you know, Cindy, I would strongly, even though I'd love for people and urge people to read my column, Keeping It Real column in the Black Commentator, www.blackcommentator.com. However, I think any information that is urgent and true needs to be gotten out there. So therefore, I'm going to say this. I would urge people to also read an article that just came out today by Ashley Smith. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y, Ashley Smith, S-M-I-T-H. The article is entitled Catastrophe in Haiti, and it goes into detail, okay, not only about the horrors that, in terms of the physical horrors that people are to some degree being acquainted with, but it goes into why this devastation is as horrible as it is. When a country has no infrastructure, it cannot provide the basic services of medical care, of education, of just a much-needed infrastructure. And, of course, the United States government, along with France, along with Britain, and I'm sad to say, along with the United Nations being headed by Brazil at this time, in Haiti itself, have for the past decades now, including under the Obama regime, have for the past decades been busily engaged, Cindy, in really destroying any semblance of Haitian independence. And I'm talking about political independence. I don't know if you heard the comment by Pat Robertson, who said,
did
you hear his comment?
He's a moron.
Cindy? Well, he said that this horror, this earthquake, had come upon Haiti because, now check this out, because the Haitian people, according to him, had made a, quote, pact with the devil, unquote. And he was referring to when Haiti, actually fought against being colonized, and such as Toussaint Louverture rose up and fought against French colonization. To even make a statement like that is the height of not only insanity, but racism. And then you have Barack Obama, as you've just informed me, appointing of all people George Bush to head efforts.
His co-chair will be Bill Clinton, who doesn't have that great of a record for Haiti either.
Well, Bill Clinton, as you know, was very much involved in and engaged in and his CIA, just like Obama's CIA, and Bush's CIA, all of them. But with respect to the coup against former Haitian President Aristide, and where this man was in fact overthrown and taken out of the country, even though he was, quote, democratically elected, overwhelmingly, I might add, by the masses of people. So, I mean, we're seeing the same old thing, as I've been saying now and writing for 2 years. We're seeing the same old thing, only, Cindy, it's worse. It's worse because many people, black and white, and whatever other pigmentation they might happen to be, have chosen, unfortunately, to be ostriches. In other words, to be an ostrich is to stick one's head in the proverbial sand.
Right.
Meanwhile, these atrocities continue. The drones, missile strikes that Obama has personally ordered, both in Yemen and in Pakistan, killing many civilians. And then these same people, meaning the Obamaites and the Bushites and all of the rest of these capitalist swine, these same people turn around and they decry terrorism when in fact they are the ones who are consistently laying the foundation for so-called terrorism. In fact, as I believe it was Harry Belafonte said of George Bush, and it would apply as well to Barack Obama, perhaps even more so today, that in fact we know who the true terrorists are. And, you know, it's like throwing gasoline on fire and then being surprised that you have a horrible explosion. Of course, Obama's not surprised. He's what I call worm tongue. I don't know if anybody's ever read, I'm sure some of your listeners have, the Lord of the Rings. Remember that fantasy that was written many years ago? One of the characters was Worm Tongue, and Worm Tongue had this incredible ability that to speak in such a way that he would lull people to sleep, and even at the great detriment of the people themselves. And this is what we have with Mr. Obama. It is really despicable. And how dare he received the Nobel Peace Prize, unless, of course, you spell peace, P-I-E-C-E. Now, if that's what they meant by the Peace Prize, then he deserves it, because just like Bush before him, just like Clinton before him, just like all of the former occupants, modern-day occupants of the White House. He wants a piece of the lifeblood of the people. And you know, I want to say this really quickly, Cindy. People have tried to apologize for Obama and say, oh, well, he's the captive of the military-industrial complex. Obama is not the captive of anything. Obama is the willing and conscious servant of the military-industrial complex. He knows full well what he's doing, and had people looked at his record instead of going for the ghost before they got mesmerized by this individual and the corporate media, of course, we wouldn't be in this predicament. But we are, and so we've got to stand up, we've got to organize, we've got to struggle against this outrageous insanity.
Well, we are a little bit behind with the organizing, also because many of the so-called anti-war or progressive people in this country were actually supporters of Obama, and now some of them are starting to wake up and go, oh, my God, he's already sent, you know, he's already doubled Bush's troop presence in Afghanistan. Geez, maybe we should start to have a demo here or there. But I am actually organizing something called Peace of the Action, P-E-A-C-E, of the Action in Washington, D.C., starting March 13th. We're going to set up a peace camp. We're going to do direct action in Washington, D.C. every day, until the empire starts to accede to our demands, which are simply troops out of Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, no more drone bombings, and no mercenary killers left in the country, and close the bases. So we're going to be organizing that direct action, but of course we have a very small anti-war movement because, you know, you said that people were enchanted or entranced. I call it that people were hypnotized. That Barack Obama has this ability of hypnosis and to get, you know, sometimes smart people, thinking people, to go against their what they know and support him for actually being worse than George Bush.
Well, two things, Cindy. One, I want to, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for standing true, for standing tall, for being strong, and for continuing, I repeat, continuing, my sister, to be for real. There have been far, far too few who have done that. And I thank you. As a human, I thank you for standing up and for not turning back and for not giving up and for continuing to man or woman, I should say, the trenches of this struggle. And
oh, it's, you too, Brother Larry.
I mean that. From the bottom of my heart, I mean that. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. And continue. You know, I call it the two C's, Cindy Sheehan and Cynthia McKinney. The two
That's
C's.
The team, for sure.
And if
That's
there's
the
any
team.
Saving grace in this country whatsoever, it is you and Cynthia.
Oh, I love you so much, and we're out of time now, unfortunately, but I promise we'll have you on again soon, and we won't wait another year to have you on. You have such an amazing insight to things and a strong voice and a history that gives your words and your actions so much credibility. So, Brother Larry, I love you, and thank you for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox again.
Right back at you, Cindy. Love you, and stay strong.
Okay, and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was our guest, Larry Pinkney. When we come back, I'll be doing my rant, so stay tuned.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. F*** them. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a f***ing thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change the world.
We can change the world.
welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. This is our rant today. The specter of an Obama presidency never really held any charm for me. I did not like his platform for more war, and I was not hypnotized by his empty rhetoric during the campaign. My suspicions were confirmed early with his neoliberal financial team and his neoconservative foreign policy team that he appointed. I was appalled but not shocked when 3 days into office, the new president confirmed his war criminal credentials by authorizing a CIA drone bombing excursion into Pakistan that killed about 36 innocent people. Since January 23, 2009, this program has just been expanded and has been, in the government's own estimate, responsible for killing 100 innocent people for every suspected terrorist that is killed. Not only is the CIA's drone program a crass example of extrajudicial assassinations for which the CIA is infamous, but the drone program is also responsible for spreading U.S. terrorism in a region that is already highly unstable. By the time this show airs, Peace of the Action, P-E-A-C-E of the Action, will have already had our demo in front of CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, protesting the abominable use of drones by the CIA. And I hope that I'll be able to report next week that the event was a wild success. But no matter what happens on January 16th, there is one thing that will never change. There is one truth that is immutable. The people of Northwest Pakistan that have been targeted the most by these bombings have the exact same right to life as the person who is controlling that drone. The biggest opposition to this protest that I'm hearing is that this program is a way to, quote, minimize American casualties, end quote. This program not only minimizes the risk to the American, but eliminates the risk altogether. How can a person who is sitting in relative comfort and controlling a joystick of doom from thousands of miles away have any risk at all? But how can the life of a tool of a cowardly military empire be more valuable than dozens of innocent people? It's not. And I hope that is what we'll be able to highlight and mainstream into U.S. consciousness. Courageous peace activist Daniel Berrigan said that the only guarantee in life is that the world will be worse when you die than when you were born. 2009 was not a good year for this planet. But I'm going to throw my entire being into reversing that trend in 2010. Please join me. Please go to www.peaceoftheaction.org to see how you can help. And that's your soapbox action for today. Well, that's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'd like to thank, as always, my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my producer, Mikey, my guests, Matt Gonzalez and Larry Pinkney, and you, as always, for listening. For the close, we'll be playing a clip of a YouTube called Obama's First Lie, and that's from C.L. Backus' YouTube channel. So listen to the clip, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox at CindySheehanSoapbox.com.
However long we are keepers of the public trust, we should never forget that we are here as public servants, and public service is a privilege. It's not about advantaging yourself. It's not about advancing your friends or your corporate clients. It's not about advancing an ideological agenda or the special interests of any organization. Public service is, simply and absolutely, about advancing the interests of Americans. But the American people deserve more than simply an assurance that those who are coming to Washington will serve their interests. They also deserve to know that there are rules on the books to keep it that way. They deserve a government that is truly of, by, and for the people. As I often said during the campaign, we need to make the White House the people's house. And we need to close the revolving door that lets lobbyists come into government freely and lets them use their time in public service as a way to promote their own interests over the interests of the American people when they leave. So today, we are taking a major step towards fulfilling this campaign promise. The executive order on ethics I will sign shortly represents a clean break from business as usual. As of today, lobbyists will be subject to stricter limits than under any under any other administration in history. If you are a lobbyist entering my administration, you will not be able to work on matters you lobbied on or in the agencies you lobbied during the previous 2 years. When you leave government, you will not be able to lobby my administration for as long as I am president.
But the president recently nominated William Lynn, a lobbyist for defense contractor Raytheon, to be deputy defense secretary. With some fellow Democrats suggesting the nomination may be in trouble, Gibbs said the White House wants to make an exception.
The president believes that, as these experts do, that a very limited number of waivers that
really
don't...
The revolving door, though.
If you are a lobbyist entering my administration, you will not be able to work on matters you lobbied on or in the agencies you lobbied during the previous 2 years.
I must make my witness. To tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.